Thank you. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for the chance given me to take part in this workshop. My talk is strictly connected with a talk we have heard yesterday from Alessandro Oliaro. And actually, I'm going to talk about some results obtained in collaboration with Oliaro and De Donno from the University of Torino. So let us begin with usual definitions. And so we start with short-time Fourier transform. I'm quite quick now in this definition. We have already heard about this in many talks before. We consider the function f representing the signal, g is the window, and we cut the signal multiplying by the window, and then we take the Fourier transform. This can be expressed as an inner product in L2. But what I want to point out in this talk is that associated to this form, actually, we have a quadratic form. We have actually that V is a sesquilinear form with respect to both argument. It is linear in F and anti-linear, conjugate linear in G. So we can associate a quadratic form by fixing the window in a suitable way that fits our problems, and let F be the argument, and we take the square of the absolute value. This is a quadratic time frequency representation that in some sense represents the distribution energy of the signal in the time frequency plane. It is far from being the only one way of representing the energy in the time frequency plane. Another example we have seen yesterday is, for instance, the most easy example is the Riesz representation, and essentially it is the product of the signal with its Fourier transform. And then, of course, we have a conjugation here in such a way that we have a quadratic form and a complex exponential. Yesterday we saw how this Riesz representation in some sense is an extreme case of a generalized spectrogram. We come back a little further on this question. Another way of representing having a quadratic representation of the energy of a signal in the time frequency plane is the Wigner distribution defined in this way. And here, if we put G equal to F, we have a quadratic form that represents the distribution energy of the signal. So we point out that we have this relation between Wigner distribution and short-time Fourier transform. Actually, the Wigner distribution can be expressed by means of the short-time Fourier transform in this way, where I indicate with tilde f just the reflection of the function f. And this is important for what follows in the sense that if we have to consider LP norms, of course, they have exactly the same properties, apart some constant, but continuity of one is equivalent to the continuity of the other. This scheme, now we have three. We have a short-time Fourier, let's say, spectrogram, Riesz, and Wigner distribution. At least these three representations suggest some more general scheme. Let us see here. We suppose we are given a sesquilinear form. Now we set all this in the L2 frame. So we have a sesquilinear form from L2 to times L2 in C. There are actually substantially two ways of associating a quadratic form. The first way is that we fix one argument, G, and we take the square of the absolute value. Another way is to put the two arguments equal to one another. In both ways, we have a quadratic form. Actually, the spectrogram is obtained following the first way, and the Wigner distribution obtained in the second way. Now, I mention again some features that are desirable for a time frequency distribution in order to represent the distribution of the energy of a signal. And these conditions come actually from statistical probability, where we would like to have the same situation as a probability distribution on the time frequency plane. So, perfect. The features are, first of all, that we would like to have a positive function in a sense that if in some sense it must be represent the energy density, it should be positive. Then we should have a minimum of spreading effect, and this is okay. Now I must also say in this first part of the talk I am quite qualitative. And so let us describe qualitative what is meant in this case, then afterwards I am a little more precise. We don't want to see frequencies where actually in the original signal there are no frequencies. And so we don't want that the real signal is spread away from its original support in the time frequency plane. And another problem is the problem of cross terms. As I have a quadratic form, in the case where I have a superposition of two signals, then I have these mixed terms that are also disturbing our representation. So the ideal representation would satisfy all these requirements, but actually due to the uncertainty principle, it's not possible to obtain a perfect satisfaction of all these requirements. Let us see what we can say now. For instance, about this is at the moment are very well known things about the Wigner distribution. For instance, we can consider the question of the support and say that and see that actually the behavior is very good in the sense that we have no spreading effect. More precisely, if we take a signal S that is supported in an interval AB, then the projection onto the time variable of the Wigner distribution of the signal is contained in the same interval, so it doesn't spread out of the original support. And the same thing happens also for the Fourier transform of the signal, so for the frequencies. If the frequencies are contained in an interval CD, then the projection on the frequency axis of the Wigner distribution is also contained in the same interval. Of course, now the F is not the same. We cannot have a compact support in both time and frequencies. But in this sense, the Wigner distribution is optimal. However, we can say that one pays this good behavior with this respect if we look at other features. For instance, it's very famous, the theorem of Hudson about the lack of positivity of the Wigner distribution. Actually, it states that the Wigner distribution is positive actually only on Gaussian-type functions. Here is a little more precisely described. And so this is a considerable drawback of this kind of time frequency distribution. Of course, we can just have a remark on the spectrogram. The question there is quite easy. As we remember, we take the square of the absolute value of the Wigner of the short time Fourier transform. So positivity is clearly satisfied. But of course, we have a window, and as we have seen before, for instance, in this case, if you one remarks, X is already in the third interval, but still the frequencies of the second interval are sensible, are felt in the point x because of the part of the support of the window that is still in the second interval. So we cannot avoid a spreading effect of the frequencies and of the supports. Of course, we know that we could restrict the support of the window, but in this case the localization of the frequencies becomes worse and worse. On the contrary, if we take a very large window, we have a good behavior in the frequencies, but the spreading effect in the time is very bad. And so there is no way to escape this phenomenon. So let us go on here on this slide. We suggest then a third way, with comparison to the first two ones, to construct a quadratic form from a sesquilinear form. We are given a sesquilinear form, but we fix two different windows, and then we take the product of the first transform times the conjugate of the other one. Let us fix the idea now, and from now on we consider actually only the case of the spectrogram of the short-time Fourier transform. We obtain in this case a generalized spectrogram where we use two different windows. And the advantage of this is that we can play with these two windows in such a way at one moment it seems that we can escape the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Of course, this is not true, and I would like to show, let's say, qualitatively what happens and why we can have this kind of effect. Actually, let us notice here that in this case, the first two conditions here about the support is not satisfied. Not even we have positivity anymore, but we have other advantages. And the real advantage is that yes, of course, if we take, let's say this before, if we take equal windows, of course we are in the case of a spectrogram. Then we can imagine to take, for instance, the second window equal to the Fourier transform of the first one, or in some other way, we suppose that if the first window G1 restrict, then the second window is dilated, or vice versa. This has a very nice effect on the supports, and the question is very, very mathematically, it's very simple, actually. It means that if we reduce the support of the first window, then we have the first term here as a very nice, good localization in time, but it loses localization in the frequencies. But we can do the opposite with the second window, taking a very large window. Then the behavior of the second term is just the opposite. It's very it's very bad in the time, but very good in the frequencies. And due to the multiplication, these two bad effects cancel, and we have a good effect, a good behavior, both in time and in frequency. Let just show me some very easy case. Just didactical case about this simple signal. There is a one frequency in the first interval and a higher frequency in the second interval. I take the Fourier the short-time Fourier transform and then I consider the spectrogram first of all with a Gaussian with parameter 5 and then a second Gaussian with parameter 1 over 5. What we obtain is this picture, as we expect. Of course, there's nothing new here. In the first case, we have a good behavior in time, but bad behavior in the frequencies. These mountains are very large. In the second case, we have very narrow mountains. It means a very good behavior in frequencies, but the time is very bad localized, and we see that here is some tail, and there already begins the two frequencies overlap, what actually doesn't happen in the reality. But if we now consider the generalized spectrogram corresponding to these two windows, Then we have this kind of picture. Oh, sorry, for a second. It's just here, the thread. Sorry, nothing. So we have a good localization both in time and in frequency. We see here from this picture. So we can just for fun, we can have the same look from above. Here are the two spectrograms. Here is nice in time, but not in frequency. And here the opposite. And if we compare these two, maybe they cannot fit not here all together. Here is the generalized spectrogram where we have a good localization both in time and in frequency. And so one can be delighted by this thing, this very elementary fact. It seems that we have overcome the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Actually, we can see more precisely what has happened. Of course, we have not. And if we have obtained a good behavior in time and localization, we are going to pay this in some other bad future among the one we have mentioned before. And to see this here is not seeable, actually. The effect is too small to be seen here. It seems perfect. But I think the most interesting thing is to see this in the extreme case, that is in the Riastak representation, that is the extreme case of spectrogram corresponding, we have seen yesterday, it corresponds to a generalized spectrogram where one window is the delta function and the other one is the function 1. And so if we have an original signal containing these two frequencies, this blue is the original signal, then of course if we take this transform, we see that due to the overlapping of the support of these two stripes here, strips here, and these two here, we observe two other frequencies, the red one here and here, that actually are not contained in the original signal. And so if we, on the contrary, we have a look at this picture and we don't know what is the original signal, actually we cannot distinguish what is happening, what is the original signal. This the blue one or the red one could both have the same time frequency distribution using the Riastak representation. So this is a very heavy drawback actually happening in this extreme case. Well, this was just to give some description of the features about concerning the spectrogram, the generalized spectrogram, that actually I think in an interesting way anyway connect the usual spectrogram with the Riastak representation. We can see this just like a bridge we have seen with the talk of Oliaro, just like a bridge between the two representations. And also the features it shows are just in the middle. According to the windows, we can have a behavior that is more likely the spectrogram or more likely the Riastak representation. So now, in the second part of the talk, I would like to describe some questions that relate to Weyl quantization in the Lebesgue spaces. Also here, I follow more or less the picture and style of the talk of Alessandro Oliaro yesterday. Now let's start with the usual definition. Also here, Weyl operators are defined traditionally in this way. For the moment, we can take A to be a smooth function, and then we see that they are connected with the Wigner distribution through this formula. And this formula can be taken as a definition of the Weyl transform in the case where the symbol is even a distributional symbol in S prime. Of course, well, I could have written here, but I didn't. In the first case, when the symbol is in S, we have a continuous map from S to S. Whereas in the case where here we have a distributional symbol, we just have a map from S to S prime. And just a question of notation, I am used to indicate just with the W the quantization, so the map that sends a symbol A to the corresponding while operator, in this case as a continuous operator between S and S prime. Okay, this is a quite known and general setting. We are interested now to specify a behavior in the LP spaces, and for this reason, let's mention a quite general lemma that states a correspondence between sesquilinear forms and operators. If we have three Banach spaces, the last one should be reflexive, and then we have a sesquilinear bounded map from this space to this one, then it defines uniquely a bounded map T from E to the bounded operators from E1 to E2 through this formula. And on the converse, if we are given a bounded map taking a symbol A to a bounded operator in this space, then the same formula define uniquely a sesquilinear map of this kind. And if we compare this, it is just the same as it's not very nice here. I'm not very okay. It's just the same relation as this one, where here the map is vile. The operator T is the vile operator. The symbol A is the A before, and the Wigner distribution is here the corresponding general sesquilinear form. So we have in particular that that these two are equivalent. If we have a bounded operator, or let's say a bounded quantization from E to the bounded operators between E1 and E2, this is equivalent of having continuity of the Wigner transform between these spaces. And this is, and we already know that the continuity of the Wigner transform, in turn, is equivalent in the LP setting to the continuity of the short-time Fourier transform. So we are going to show continuity of the Wigner transform through the continuity of the short-time Fourier transform. And so this is our proposition that we assume the situation. The short-time Fourier transform is a bounded map between L prime times LP prime times LP to LQ with corresponding norm estimate if and only if we have a Q greater than 2 and P is between P prime and Q. P is between Q prime and Q. So I don't know. Maybe I can skip the proof. I just want to show that actually this is the if part is contained in the results of Leap, who also had a best estimate with best coefficients in the norm estimate. But we just see that we can obtain the same continuity result without optimal coefficients just by interpolation of bilinear forms in a quite trivial, quite easy way. Okay, maybe we can anyway skip here some details. Finally, we can show that in the remaining case where we are outside the region we have mentioned, we don't have boundedness of this ratio, and so by showing directly that, for instance, if we take a Gaussian function with a parameter lambda, by letting lambda goes to infinity or zero, we don't have bounded quantity here. And so in the remaining cases, we don't have boundedness of the short time Fourier transform. And this completes the picture of the boundedness result of the short time Fourier transform in the LP frame. And so, of course, the consequence, the immediate consequence, is on the LP continuity of the Weyl quantization. And reading this same result for Weyl quantization, we have that Weyl quantization is a continuous map from LQ to the bounded operators on LP, if and only if Q is less than 2 and P is between Q and Q prime, with corresponding norm estimates. The proof is trivial because in the case that P is not equal to 1 or infinity, it's an immediate consequence of the continuity of the short-time Fourier transform. In these two extreme cases, the corresponding space LP we have it's not reflexive, so we cannot use this lemma before, but one can see that some easy calculations gives the result anyway. We can, it's interesting maybe to summarize these results in a picture where we have a summary of the situation. The picture is this one. I'm sorry, we didn't see, I didn't saw the picture of Oliaro yesterday before. Because we were used to take directly the place, the space P and Q, but I thought I was more elegant to take the reciprocal, the 1 over P and 1 over Q. The reason is that some hyperbola that are present in the plane here becomes a straight line. So we just have that our region of continuity of the Weyl quantization is the red one. It means that for every point we choose here, we have that for every symbol in the corresponding LQ, we have bounded operator on LP. And in the green region, we don't have a bounded quantization in this sense. And so if we look at this picture, it's very complete, of course, but one question remains open. Actually, one could observe that a priori, also in this green region, what we have proved is that we don't have a continuous quantization. But nevertheless, we could still have a correspondence between symbols in LQ, two operators, two bounded operators on LP, but this correspondence is not continuous, it's not bounded. Is it true or not? Or there are actually symbols for which the corresponding Weyl operator is not bounded on LP? The question is that it is not possible. The question is that actually there are symbols of this kind in any of these cases. So this is the question summarized here. And the answer to this question is contained in an observation making use of the closed graph theorem. This here. So the Weyl quantization from LQ to the bounded operators on LP is continuous if and only if it is everywhere defined. And here we can look at the proof because it's very quick. If we take symbols AJ going to A in LQ, then there and we suppose also that there exists a bounded operator on LP such that it is the limit of Weyl operators WAJ. Then we observe that AJ tends to A also in S prime, and therefore we can easily see that this relation is satisfied, so that actually A coincides with Weyl operator with symbol small a. And so the graph of the Weyl quantization is closed, and so it must be everywhere defined. In this way, we have proved that in all points of a green region, in the LQ space, there is at least one symbol giving a non-continuous operator on LP. Consequence, actually, this one, what I mentioned now. Finally, to conclude this picture in the pure LP frame, we can also easily prove that actually we have compact operators in all cases where we have seen the operators are continuous. And here the proof is also very easy. One could also just take an approximation of the symbol by truncation and approximating A with A naught with compact support and remarking that we have at once compact operators, but instead of using a general theorem, we can also take one further step and approximate A0 with smooth symbols so that these symbols are actually smooth and with compact support, so that the corresponding while operators are regularizing and they are therefore compact on LP. And so A is a limit of compact operators. And so this is actually the picture of the LP situation. Now, looking back at this picture, one can see maybe LP here is not the ideal scale of spaces because of this region here. Maybe we can ask if we restrict the class of the symbols, maybe we can enlarge the region where we have a bounded map. Or on the contrary, if we enlarge the class of the symbol, how does this region restrict? And so we can pass to this question. Okay. And we consider restriction and extension of while quantization. First of all, we define this new space is LQ star according to this reference. They appear in the book Weil Transform of Professor Wong, actually to study L2 continuity. And so they are defined in this way. The LQ star are the function in LQ with the Fourier transform in LQ prime. So actually it's in the intersection of LQ with the counter image of LQ prime through the Fourier transform, or what is equal, the intersection of LQ and the image of the Fourier transform of LQ prime. We define this norm that is the natural one of these spaces, and we easily see from the action, the LP action of the Fourier transform, that we have these estimates. And so actually in the case where Q is less than 2, the norm of LQ star space is equivalent to the LQ norm. Whereas when Q is bigger than 2, the norm is equivalent to the norm, the LQ prime norm of the Fourier transform of F. And so this gives us, of course, at once that this LQ star coincide with Q for Q less than 2 and are smaller than Q for Q bigger, greater than 2. We can also define a counterpart to these spaces that, on the contrary, are bigger than the LQ spaces. And a quite natural definition is taking the sum instead of the intersection of these two spaces with this natural norm. And then we see that we have this scheme. For Q less than 1, LQ star is LQ, and they are strictly contained in LQ sharp. For Q less than greater than 2, then LQ star is actually the image of LQ prime through the Fourier transform, and it is strictly contained in LQ that is equal to LQ sharp. This suggests that we take symbols in these two scales, this new Lebesgue scale of spaces, and see what happens in our region of boundedness. So I just here, I mentioned just here the result, and then I show some picture. The result that describes the complete situation, the general situation is this. The Weyl quantization defines a continuous mass in the case of LQ stars. If and only if we are in this region, so for every Q and P between this minimum and maximum. And in this case, the operators are also compact operators. And we don't have a continuity of the map. And again, with the same observation as before about the closed graph theorem, we see then that in the other cases, there is at least one symbol given a non-continuous operator. Whereas for the big scale of spaces, this Q sharp, we never have a continuous map. So the situation is, of course, the picture in the second case is empty. And in the first case, the picture becomes this one because this region corresponds exactly to these two triangles. Okay. Here. Now, so this is actually the final result, but it suggests also that we can say something more about the cases where we don't have continuity. And so, if we remember the three situations, the first picture with a Q scale where we just have this triangle, then this picture we have these two triangles, and the case where here we have an empty picture where we never have continuity, then about the contrary examples, we can say that we have this situation. Here, it is in this region we must enlarge the class of the symbol just to find a counterexample of operators that are not continuous. How much can we enlarge the class? It is enough to go from LQ to LQ sharp. In this space, there must exist a symbol giving a non-bounded operator. In these two other triangles here, we see that even if we take a symbol in these small spaces, we have, in some cases, a non-bounded operator. Of course, this is new only in part because for Q less than 2, we have the same spaces as Q as usual, but in the second half is actually better as before. And in the last case here, we see that there must exist a counterexample, a symbol giving a non-bounded operator in this space, the difference between LQ and LQ star, because in LQ star we have seen that here we have actually a bounded map. And so the counterexample is just in this difference of spaces. So I think this is all. I thank you very much for your attention.